Alex Keane, the political commentator, has been across this for us this morning. Alex, morning to you.
Good morning, Enda.
So you got a sense there of Jim's position, and he does feel aggrieved over what has happened. Can you understand where he's coming from, Alex?
I can. I suppose I'm going to declare a slight interest. I met Jim 40 years ago when we were both at Queen's together, so we go back a long way. I know from personal knowledge, you know, how close the relationship with himself and Grace is. I know the sense of desolation, that sense of being utterly broken that he has felt for months now, because many of us, you know, before it became public knowledge, a number of us were aware of just how grave the situation was for them. And you heard it there. I think, you know, it was summed up in what he said towards the end of that interview. And he said, I may well have had to go shortly afterwards anyway, but I would have gone in completely different circumstances. And that's what this is about. I think the best way of explaining this, it's about a legacy thing. We know, Jim, whatever happens now, Jim is never going to be a minister again. He's admitting himself he may not be an MLA again. He doesn't want to be remembered. So the one thing he's done in 30 years of politics, and he was in politics when I first met him, he doesn't want to be remembered, oh, that's the DUP guy who was sacked for saying something inappropriate. He's concerned about his legacy. He wants to be remembered in a slightly different circumstance. And, do you know, Enda, I think that, you know, I think that's a perfectly understandable position that he finds himself in. Now, he is wrecked. You could hear in his voice there a number of times where he did sound like a man who was just about to break down in tears. He is desolate. Doesn't justify what happened in the hospitals. I'm just saying that's the personal circumstance of that guy at this moment.
Huge sense of injustice, Alex, it has to be said. Basically saying his 33 years in politics is ruined by a 30-second tape. Do you think what he said today will help, I suppose, limit the damage to that career?
I'm not sure. I think sometimes in politics, and I mean, I say this as someone who's observed and written about politics for years, when you revisit a story, you have to be very careful that you don't end up. We heard two of your callers, one of them, I think, saying, you know, well, if he doesn't know what he has said, and if, you know, people will come on to you and say, hang on, so he apologised because he thought he had said something, but he realised he hadn't said it, he retracts the apology. And it's worth bearing in mind, I wrote at the time in one newspaper on the 28th, which is at the time the story was breaking, and I said, I'm not often surprised by anything that happens in local politics, but I must admit that I didn't see Jim Wells's resignation coming. Feedback from the DUP between Thursday evening and Saturday afternoon suggested that they believed he had weathered the original storm and would be able to hang on without inflicting too much electoral damage. And it's worth bearing in mind as well that when Peter Robinson was asked about Jim's position, I think it was on the Friday or Saturday morning, he seemed to have accepted, as did a number of other people, the clarification point. I know Jim says that, you know, it was only a week later that he discovered that what he had supposedly said wasn't a true reflection. I'm sorry, on the Thursday evening, on the Friday, it was quite clear. We had seen some evidence that he had stepped in to clarify his position, that said that he wasn't just including gay couples, he was including heterosexual couples as well in unstable marriages. He wasn't sacked because of that. He lost his job on the Saturday afternoon because of an incident that happened in Rathrylland, a doorstep encounter, and at that point, the leadership of the DUP took a decision that they would let him swing in this one. And the only way they could immediately punish him was through his ministerial office. That's what did for him. He would have survived the hustings had it not been for Saturday afternoon.
And was he considered then, do you think, a liability by some within the party at that point as they approached an election?
Well, I have to say, in fairness again to Jim, Jim has always been considered, he's a loose cannon. Jim, I say, and it's one of the reasons I love Jim enormously, because, you know, I don't agree with a lot of Jim's views and personal things and socioeconomic issues and so on, either moral issues. But Jim says it as he sees it. What you get is the sense that, you know, he doesn't hide when it comes to the difficult questions. He gives you his views quite clearly. He gave you his views a few minutes ago about how he views homosexuality and so on. He doesn't hide from that. Mm-hmm. And certainly on issues like the environment and so on, where he was, there were a number of occasions people thought he would be environment minister, that he would be shuffled into that position at one point. It didn't, because there's a number of people in the DUP leadership who didn't agree with his views on that. But I think, yes, in the middle of an election campaign where there was a sense that there was we had the conscience clause, we had other Christian clauses all at play, other issues all in the field at that particular time, the decision was taken. Having allowed him to survive the Thursday hustings, 48 hours later, They just decided, we can't go on. That's why they let him go.
He was full of praise for the party leader, Peter Robinson, in fact, saying that he has seen another side to Peter Robinson, who has been a tower of strength for him and his family, given what they've come through. But he was also very pointed in saying that he didn't get an awful lot of support from others within the party. When he circulated the transcription of what was said, he said only four members came back to him. What does that tell you?
Oh, well, it tells me what I knew already, and it ties in just what I said there about the environmental thing. Jim does have enemies inside the DUP. Maybe enemies too. He has certainly opponents within inside the DUP, some of whom just think it's the old Paisley thing. Jim would always have been much closer to the Paisley evangelical wing of the DUP than to the other side. But there's also a side in the DUP which we've seen emerge in the past decade. It's a more liberal wing. It's a party that's wanting to reach out to other people, to a softer unionist base, to the sort of people who left the Ulster Unionist Party because they were tired of Trimble and wanted something else. The DUP was trying to make themselves acceptable to them. And Jim, like Edwin Poots, if you like, on some of his comments, was a reminder of a side of the DUP that some of them thought we don't want made public anymore. So, no, I wasn't at all surprised that Jim wasn't exactly, you know, didn't have a posse coming after him, you know, offering their support. And the names he mentioned there were the very people I would have expected, because they have the same worldview as Jim.
And very interesting as well, he talked about support from the backbenchers, no mention of those on the front bench.
No, well, that's again, it's the leadership thing. The DUP has moved, and it's one thing, some people, I mean, if you've been watching it up close like I have over the past 10 years, particularly since 2005, you can see the changes in the DUP. The leadership is now entirely focused on keeping the Democratic Unionist Party as the majority voice of unionism, not just as the biggest unionist party, but as the majority voice of all of unionism. It needs to be much more nuanced. There was a time 10, 15 years ago, it wouldn't have mattered what Jim Wells had said. Wouldn't have mattered what he'd said on the Saturday in Rathryland either, a couple of days later, because that was the party's base. They didn't worry. They weren't interested in liberal unionists, because they didn't want those votes. But as soon as the party recognises and finds another two or three key demographics that it needs to tap into for votes, it suddenly becomes very concerned about what its individuals say. That's what I'm saying. It's what happened to Jim. It's not that Jim's views have changed at one dot in the past 40 years, because I don't think they have. I think his personal views are what they were. It's just the fact that for the Democratic Unionist Party, which wants to present a slightly different version of itself, what Jim Wells was saying, what Edwin Poots was saying, what some other DUP, what maybe even the likes of, I think it was Gregory in the 6,000 day, you know, or the 6,000 year young creationist view of the world, those are issues they don't really want in the public domain anymore. And I think that's what damaged Jim more than anything.
And is this the last, do you think, we're going to hear of Jim Wells, a politician?
I think, and I my gut instinct, and in this, it's difficult to say this because then some people interpret that you're already writing his obituary. Grace, as Jim says, she's not going to walk again. She will never recover full brain function again. I think he's acknowledging that now. This is a man who adores his wife. This is a man with a woman who have stood together in some of the most difficult, darkest days of our trouble. Days when they didn't have security guards. Days when noises outside in the middle of the night would have scared them. But they stood together. And as he said there, Grace with him was with him through those long, lonely, dark nights. And a lot of politicians suffered those under. They were scary days. And I just sense that Jim Wells, I know, is a man who will make a choice between career and his wife. And I would be very, very surprised if he didn't choose his wife over everything else.